Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of John, chapter 11. John 11, beginning at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. And are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of day. Because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, well, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Our friend Lazarus sleeps. Well, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. Then Jesus said plainly, Lazarus is dead. Sleeping? Dead. Jesus arrives and Lazarus has already been dead for 4 days. One of Lazarus' sisters meets up with Jesus, verses 21 to 27. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me, she'll never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Hope. Hope, Martha. Hope, Mary. Hope for all, for Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in him, though they may die, they shall live. And whoever lives and believes, follows him, clings to him, lives for him, walks with him, shall never die. Martha, and now Mary, the other sister, verses 28 to 37, and when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, that is, supposing that she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Where have you laid him? Where is the sleeper? Where is the dead man? Lord, Lord, come and see. These sisters sent to Jesus. Their brother was sick. And Jesus hears of the situation, and he speaks ever so clearly. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. What are you talking about? What do you mean, Jesus? The man's dead. The man has been dead 4 days. Is he dead? Or is he sleeping? Is he sleeping? Or is he dead? Well, this sleeper is dead. Verses 38 to 44. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a slab of stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Come forth. This alarm, this holy wake-up call. Back to verse 11, he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. The Amplified Bible, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there. I'm going to make my way there to wake him. The Darby translation, Lazarus, our friend, has fallen asleep, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Holman Christian Standard Bible, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm on my way. I'm on my way to wake him up. Jesus is on the way. Jesus is on his way to wake the sleeper. You know, Lazarus was a good man. Jesus loved the man, and Jesus absolutely loved his family. Concerning Lazarus, this sickness, and it rendered him a sleeper. This sickness, and it rendered him dead. You know, there have been many cases throughout the course of history, and since the case of Lazarus, where sickness has rendered men and women sleepers. Sickness, and various types and forms. And like the disciples, we might utter these words, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus here is speaking of death. He is not talking about taking rest in sleep, you know, reposing, lying, reclining, taking a nap or a good night's rest as we so often do when we are sick. And so Jesus says plainly, dead. Lazarus was a good man. And yet, how many good men and women have become sick? Those Jesus loves. Some sickness, some disease, some infection, some virus. And what of the not so good? Lazarus was a good man, and yet how many good men and women now sleep? And yes, what of the not so good? Lazarus is dead. And how many find themselves in this form and manner of sleep and yet claim it's not death, just sleep? And disciples even, it's only sleep. They'll recover. Jesus cleared things up right quick. Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I love the man's name, the meaning of his name, Lazarus, whom God helps. God is the help, and God is the hope. Jesus Christ is the help, and he is the hope for every sleeper, every dead one, and he would help and desires to help. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Listen to the words Jesus speaks to Martha, this woman, this sister. She's so broken over the state of her brother, and I wonder, is there one here this day? Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? And concerning Mary and the others that had come with her, Jesus saw their weeping. Jesus sees the weeping. Jesus saw their weeping. He groaned in the spirit. The Bible says he was troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Come and see." Jesus wept. Messiah weeping. Jesus weeping. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "You know, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind, couldn't he also have kept this man from dying? Where have you laid him? Where have you laid her?" That might be the question we need to answer this day. Where have you put them? Say to him, "Lord, come and see." I mean, look at Jesus. There he is. He's weeping. Weeping for the sisters. Weeping for the others. Weeping over unbelief. Weeping over Lazarus. Weeping over the sleeper, over the dead. Here he is, Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of mankind, the Savior of the world. He's weeping. He's shedding tears. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." But Lord, it's been too long. Lord, by this time there is a stench. His decaying corpse. The Amplified Bible, Lord, by this time there will be an offensive odor, for he has been dead 4 days. It is hopeless. Philip's New Testament, he has been dead 4 days. By this time, he will be decaying. I ask today, how long has it been? Is there already a foul odor? Has decay gripped the sleeper, the dead? Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Did I not say to you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? And here's the call today. To believe for the sleepers, to believe for the dead, for Jesus has come. Jesus is on the way to wake them up. Believe for those, even believe for those that we have buried. Spirit speak, those behind a stone, those that stinketh. Those decaying. Remove the stone, the text. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing right here, standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Whom God would help, come forth. No, in and of ourselves, we cannot utter these words and declare these words. This seemingly hopeless situation needed the voice of Jesus. And there are hopeless situations that need the voice of Jesus. Come forth. This alarm, this wake-up call. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy to wake the dead. It's not even easy to wake some sleepers. You know, those that sleepeth. And it's sure not easy to wake people that don't want to be woken. Ever tried waking a son or daughter that doesn't want to be woken? Doesn't want to awaken, doesn't want to rise and rise up, doesn't want to stand, doesn't want to put on apparel, doesn't want to wash up, be cleansed, doesn't want to tend to the vessel, the body, that it be presentable and in right manner, that fragrance might be as it should, that they go out and be productive and industrious in holy and righteous manner. Wow, it is not easy to wake those that don't want to be woken. I mean, there you are. You take away the stone. I mean, open the door to their room. I mean, their cave. And you enter. Stinketh. You've cried out, "Come forth," and nothing. And so, you go to shake and wake them, and there they are, all wrapped up. And you might even pick them up, and there in your arms they lie. They lay as one that's lifeless. Man, It's hard to wake those that don't want to be woken. You know what? In some cases, it's easier to raise Lazarus. Next time your son or daughter isn't getting up, you open that door and you shout with a thunderous voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Whom God needs to help right now, whom God would help, come forth. God help me. You know, with Lazarus, it only took one call. One call. And how many have been called and called and called and called again to come forth? Called and called and called and called and called again. You've heard the call. How many times? It only took one time with Lazarus. You know, Jesus is the ultimate alarm clock. I go that I may wake him up. I am going there to wake him. I go that I may wake him out of sleep. I'm on my way, Jesus is saying. I'm on my way to wake him up. To all those that sleepeth today at the call of Jesus, come forth. Now, Lazarus knew Jesus. And so, when the man was quickened to life, he came forth. I mean, he knew the voice. He knew the beloved voice of his Savior. But perhaps there are those here today or listening now that do not know the voice, are not familiar with the voice, though it is the sweetest voice. Come forth. But who is this calling? Who are you? Who is this Jesus? Sleeper? Dead one? He is your only hope. He is my only hope. He is our only hope for those sleepers dead in trespasses and sins. For those sleepers dead to the things of God, dead to righteousness, clothed in filthy rags. There they are in a tomb, in a cave, bound and lifeless. If we are spiritually dead, we truly are lifeless. This imagery. How long has it been? Is there a stench? Decay setting in and taking hold and taking over. Oh, Jesus has come. Jesus has come. Jesus is here. Jesus is weeping, groaning in himself. The words of C.S. Lewis, "We follow one who stood and wept at the grave of Lazarus, not surely because he was grieved that Mary and Martha wept and sorrowed for their lack of faith, though some thus interpret, but because death, the punishment of sin, is even more horrible in his eyes than in ours." The text, "He cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Loose him and let him go.' Whom God would help, it's time to come forth. It's time to come out. And you can go home a raised person today." The Philip's New Testament, "And when he had said this, he called out in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with grave clothes and his face muffled with a handkerchief. 'Now unbind him,' Jesus told him, 'and let him go home.'" Hear his thunderous voice today. If we are one like Lazarus, who knows the voice of Jesus, let's gladly come out at his call. the voice of our precious Savior. Let's gladly come out at the sound of His call. And what of a reluctant Lazarus, or one whose own doings have left them in this state? Hear His voice and do not harden your heart. And what of a Lazarus who knows not Jesus? He's come for you. Whom God Jesus would help, he would help. He can help you. He wants to help you. This is His desire, no doubt. He can help us all, no matter our name, no matter how long we've been in the tomb, the grave, the place of the dead, no matter how long it's been, no matter the stench, no matter the decay. But we have to come forth at His call. Ephesians 5:14, therefore He says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I mean, imagine being quickened to life, but refusing to come forth. Imagine. I think I'll stay in this place, this tomb, this cave, this grave place. Yeah, I'll stay here bound hand and foot with grave clothes. You know, I don't know about you, but if I was quickened to life after 4 days, if it was even 4 days in the tomb, I'm not sure I could handle the smell of myself if I was brought back to life. That would bring me out. Can't you see Lazarus? There he is. Somehow he's making his way out of the tomb because the call of Jesus has made it possible. His ears heard and his eyes opened and strength came into his mortal body, a body quickened by the Son of God. Lazarus came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, a cadaver wrapped from head to toe. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. And right here, this is where Jesus gets others involved. Lazarus couldn't loose himself. The bound, hand and foot man, bound with grave clothes, face wrapped in a cloth, he needed help. He needed help. Did the sisters run to help loose him? The disciples, you know, they run, they hurry over. Let's get these grave clothes off. Let's unbind the hands and the feet. Let's unwrap the head and the face. Out of death sleep, out of a sleepy tomb, out of whatever it might be. And you say, well, did or did Lazarus not want to rise and come forth? All those ears rejoiced to hear their Savior's voice. Yet, there may be those that do not want to be woken today. Be it the tomb of sleepy apathy, sleepy indifference, sleepy iniquity, sleepy compromise, and so on. But by God and by the Spirit of God, we are hopeful today that you will come forth. For I know that Jesus still comes to tombs. He comes to tombs and He still weeps and groans over the sleeping dead. He still calls out this holy alarm. Whom God helps, come forth. Come forth, dead man. Come forth, dead woman, son, daughter. Wake, O sleeper. Woe to those that sleep. Woe to those that sleep. Deadly ease in Zion. And a little sleep, a little slumber, this death. A little folding of the hands to sleep. Not yet the sleeping dead. But what unbeauty has taken hold of us. Revelation 3:2, wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. The New Century Version, wake up. Strengthen what you have left before it dies completely. I have found what you are doing is less than what my God wants. Quite the scripture. There's hope today, and there's help today. And I got good news today. I know many a man, many a woman that has been the greatest comeback since Lazarus. Join the list. Join the record. You know, there's another Lazarus in the Bible. In the holy text, Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, lived in luxury. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell. I mean, wanting to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, King James Version hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and he saw Lazarus. He saw Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from here pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Two men on the other side. Two men on the other side of death. Pass from this life. For eventually all will die should the good Lord tarry. A certain man that lived in apparent luxury and a certain beggar. A luxurious life, a beggarly life. Two men on the other side of death in two very different places. And between the two, a gulf fixed, which no one can pass. Lazarus, dead. Yet recall the words Jesus spoke to Martha Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Lazarus was dead, but he was alive. Death but a door, a portal to paradise. The man of luxury outside of Christ, more dead than ever. Not dead. Sounds like death in Hades to me. Sounds like the sleeper's final resting place, the place of torment. Dead, yet wide awake and even unable to sleep. Sheer torment. The words of Charles Spurgeon, the world's proverb is, God help the poor, for the rich can help themselves. But to our mind, it's just the rich who have most need of heaven's help. Dives in scarlet is worse off than Lazarus in rags, unless divine love shall uphold him. The man in torment could see Lazarus. Imagine. He could see him. And hear his cries and feel his cries. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He's calling for the finger of a beggar. For a drop on the finger of a beggar. It can't happen. There is no cooling for the tongue. There's no relief from this torment and agony. And so the man thinks. The man thinks of those that have not yet died, although they really are the living dead, sleepers. We're talking about dead men walking. And so here he turns. Here he turns the beggar. The beggar. Yeah, he's now a beggar, but it's too late. People, the gulf can only be crossed in this lifetime, and the bridge is Jesus Christ. It's too late now. The text, then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him. Please send the beggar. Send Lazarus. The one I can see. Send him, please. Send him to my father's house, for I've got five brothers. That he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment, literally this place of much pain. This man, he couldn't come forth, he couldn't come back, so he's crying out, please send Lazarus. Send Lazarus. Send Lazarus, send whom God helps. The man is asking for Lazarus to rise from the dead, that he might go to his father's house, to his five brothers. Send back a dead beggar? Send a dead beggar back to what? Testify? You know, Lazarus in John 11, when he came back to life, people did believe. Having seen the things Jesus did, and yet some didn't. Some did. But you see, Jesus knows the hearts of all men. The text, Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Like, Jesus, if you do this, they'll repent. God, if you do this, they'll repent. Jesus knows the hearts of all men and all women, every son and every daughter. No father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Come forth. Moses and the prophets, the word of God, the Bible, the holy text, the preaching of the word of God, all the evangelism and evangelizing, in all of it, is not Jesus crying out in a thunderous voice, whom God helps, come forth. He's there every day, standing before caves, standing before tombs, sleepers, dead people. Whatever it speaks to, dead in trespasses and sins, we could talk about those that are dead in apathy and indifference. Every day he's trying to wake them up. But some just want to sleep. And maybe they have been quickened to some measure, but they've gone nose blind. They don't realize that they stinketh. You know, you tell your son or daughter, your room really smells. They walk in there, what are you talking about? It smells just fine to me. Like you need to go on a holiday and come back. You know, the Lord knows the condition of every person's heart. And the Lord knew the hearts of the five brothers. He knew the hearts of the five brothers. And one rising from the dead wouldn't be enough to persuade them if they were unwilling and unwanting hearers of Moses and the prophets. The NLV, if they do not listen to Moses and to the early preachers, they will not listen even if someone is raised from the dead. The New Century Version, Abraham said to them, if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not listen to someone who comes back from the dead. I mean, I'm just wondering, what was this man hoping for? What was he hoping would take place? Like, send Lazarus back. I mean, what do you want this other Lazarus to do? You want the once beggarly man brought back to life so he can go and tell your brothers what? So he can go and tell them that their brother who used to dress in purple and fine linen and lead a life of daily luxury, a man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, that he's now in hell? In torment and agony? That his life didn't pay off as he presumed and claimed and declared it would? That he was wrong about the afterlife? That he gambled and lost? Why would they believe the beggar? Did they too know the beggar? Why would they believe his testifying? Hey, you five brothers, you five sisters, whatever your names be, God can help you. Jesus can help you. The very one who was, in fact, raised from the dead. Do you say that you don't need help? Or do you say, what help do we need? That's a start. You know, he's your only hope. He's my only hope. He's our only hope. We can't raise ourselves. We can't even unwrap and loose ourselves. Let's have the worship team return. George, Whitefield said, "The sinner can no more raise himself from the deadness of sin than Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days until Jesus came." Is there a Lazarus in the house today? A beggar in need of a touch? One full of sores? A Lazarus, a beggar in need of a touch? One on this side of eternity, not having passed from this. Is there a Lazarus in the house? A beggar in need of a touch? A beggar in need of a meal? A beggar in need? One full of sores. Well, you know, I know a rich man. And I know his table. Whom God helps. Would you today lie down at his gate? Would you lay yourself down at his gate and take on desire to be fed with the crumbs which fall from his table? His name is Jesus. I know a woman who can testify, a mother who can testify. Mark 7:28, and she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Matthew 15:27-28, and she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." This is the day and this is the hour to come forth. O sleeper, O dead one, come forth. Know whatever the form of sleep, slumber, or if it is truly death, dead in trespasses and sins, one outside of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. How many times have you heard, maybe this is the first time you've heard the call. This is the first time you've really heard the call. You've heard the call to come forth. Jesus at your tomb, Jesus at your grave. Right there, your situation, your sleepy or dead situation, circumstance, your reality. It might be the first time. It only took one time to raise Lazarus. You know, it only needs to take one time. One encounter with Jesus and his voice. And yet there are those that, you know, it's tragic, it's sad, but they're just wasting time. The locusts eating up, the cankerworm at work. As they come in and they've heard time and time again, come forth and come forth and come forth. They've been quickened to some measure. I mean, they can hear, I guess, but they're just not willing to come out. They're just not willing to come forth. How many times have we heard the call? How many more times do we need to hear the call? You know, I think of children, and we've already used that imagery. You go in, you call them once, you're like, "Son, daughter, it's time to leave. We gotta, someone's saying right now, yeah, it's 11:42. We'll be out of here in just a moment. It's time to leave. It's time to leave, son, daughter." And they kind of hear you, you know what I'm saying? They kind of hear you, and you know you got a little more time, so you're just being gracious, and then you go back in and you're like, "Son, daughter, you got to get up. You got to get up. Then you go away and you come back and they're still, I mean, they're more wrapped up than ever. You know, now they're pushed into the corner against the wall and they're further away or they've hid under their bed and they're sleeping. You're pulling them out and you're saying, son, daughter, it's time to get up. Get up! And they're still lifeless. Or you drive home in a car. Every parent's been there. The kid's in the back seat and, you know, let's say they haven't fallen asleep, but as soon as you pull up to your house, I mean, they're out. No more energy. Can't walk in the house. It's like, son, daughter, get up. You were just talking. You know that they're faking it, right? You finally just like, I got to go to bed. I got to get up, go to work. You have no responsibility. I have all the responsibility. I got to feed you in the morning. I got to wake you up. And so you take them in the house, and I mean, you're doing everything. You carry them, and they're so lifeless. It's unbelievable. They're heavier at that point, aren't they? It just seems like it. They're weighing you down, and you just pull them in. And I mean, I don't know what you're doing. Hopefully, you're brushing their teeth, trying to floss. They're still just passed out. You're not there yet? Have a kid. Welcome to the rodeo. I just think of Jesus. I think of our Heavenly Father. How many of His kids? He's just like, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come forth. Come forth. Come forth. Come forth. Life could be so much better. You know what it's like? You're the son or daughter. You don't want to rise. You don't want to get up. And finally you come out of your room and your whole day is shot because mom or dad are so terrible. I mean, they made me get up. They want me to put on clothes. They want me to go to school. Like, what's wrong with these people? Don't they know we're a new generation? We're way smarter than they are. And the father's just like, you're a fool. Get in the car. You're going to school. Be quiet. You know. Anyways, enough jokes. I just get the picture because he's a heavenly father, isn't he? And he honestly just loves us. He wants the best for us. You say, well, no, he doesn't. Maybe you've rewritten the song. You're a bad, bad father. You know, I wasn't one for the song, but it's an all right song. You're a good, good father. That's what they sing. But some, it's like, you're a bad, bad father. You're making me go to church. Yeah, because he loves you. Because you can come into the house of the Lord, and guess what? Maybe you might get loosed in church. Maybe you need to be unwrapped a little bit. Or guess what? Maybe you are the one. Like, start thinking about it differently. Maybe you're the one that Jesus is saying, hey, so-and-so's right here. Loose them. Let them go. See, we think Jesus needs to do all the work. He wants to get us involved, hands and feet people. Loose the person. Let them go. And you're saying, well, that's kind of weird. I mean, should I just walk up to them like during the worship service? What do? Pretend that they're wrapped in clothes and start unwrapping them? And you know what? You could do it just by worshiping. Dance upon injustice. Lift your hands. Clap. Strike against the enemy. We need to think like Christians. The end. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today. We're just going to close with prayer. We have a district pastor's meeting, and we've got to get back to church tonight because we are those that believe in offering the evening sacrifice. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. I pray over every person in this house, Lord. It is truly your desire just to bless your people. You said to put blessing upon the people. And that's your heart. That's why you came even to the tomb of Lazarus. You came, Jesus, because you came to wake the sleeper. You came to wake the one that was dead. You love us, Lord. You love our families. You have compassion. To think that you groan in the spirit, to think that you're troubled, to think that you weep over us, that you weep with us, Lord. And it's just amazing. So, God, we just give you glory today. We thank you for this time in your house. We pray a special blessing over every person in this room, over every family, Lord, over every son, daughter, father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, Lord. We need you, and we want to live for your glory. And, Lord, I pray that we would rise each day, and no matter what we face, we would remember the meaning of the man's name, whom God helps. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church.